Ask myself a question. Where does my help come from? That's a question that you need to bring into the equation to analyze the situation, whatever the situation is that you may be facing. Okay, I look up there. I look at the economy. I look at my bank. I look at whatever it is I need to look at. But really, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help is bigger than those mountains. Yes, help can come from everywhere and anywhere, but I know where my help is coming from. It's coming from the Lord. I will look unto the author and the finisher of my faith.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I have good news. Mama and I are great grandparents the second time. Hallelujah. God is gracious. Now I'm looking past great grand. I'm looking at great, great, grand. Because I expect to live that long. And maybe I'll see, if the Lord tarries, great, great, great. Maybe I'll be the first. Amen. It's exciting. God is our helper. You know, the name of this great, great grand is Azariah. And it means God is my helper. What an appropriate word. From whence does my help come? It comes from Him. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, I want us to go to this passage of Scripture. We were praying through it Friday last. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And the 9th verse. I want to explore this passage of Scripture for a moment because it's fundamental. If we are going to be believers who continue in the Word and are true disciples, we must take cognizance of this chapter and reflect on it again and again. The Word of God says the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. The Hebrew word there is a word that means fraudulent. It says the heart is fraudulent. It is crooked, the heart. The heart is foot-tracked. What does that mean, foot-tracked? It means it's been trodden. The heart can be so beaten up that you cannot really rely on what your heart is doing or saying. How can we protect that? The Word of God tells us
It says you got to guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. The one place that you must make certain you protect is your heart. Protect it. Because from there, your future is going to be proclaimed. You broadcast from your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or the mouth prophesies. I don't know you until you open your mouth. And when you speak, I know where you are at. I can tell where a son or daughter is spiritually by how they talk, how they pray, what they say. And that happens based on what they've allowed themselves to be fed by. It says their heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. The word there, the Hebrew word, is a word that speaks of weakness, sickness. Frailty. The heart is sick. Huh? Corrupted. Who can know it? Well, we know who can. The Lord God knows the heart. In fact, He deals with the heart. He knows the motivation behind everything I do. I do all kinds of things. In your sight, it might look wonderful and amazing and so sincere and pure and all of that. But God, who sees, knows why I'm doing what I'm doing. God knows exactly why you're doing what you're doing. And ultimately, the purity of my heart, ultimately, while it benefits me, is founded in the integrity that I carry before God. Man may look at me and say, that's wrong. And God looks at me and says, that's right. Guess who wins? God. So living life to be a man pleaser and not a God pleaser, it's nonsense. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God does not call me to walk my life to please men. That the pleasing of man must be based on me, first of all, pleasing God. And when I please God, then I will please men. Men whose hearts are after God. You will never please men whose hearts are not after God. Can you get that? You will never. So stop trying. Because to please men whose hearts are not after God means that you're going to compromise yourself. You're going to live in the world of deceit, in a world of shame, confusion, corruption. The one person that we must strive always to please is God. And you cannot please him in your strength and in your own ability. Forget that. You will never. But when you're surrendered to him, he will please himself through you. Oh, I don't know if you got that. God pleases himself through you. Because he lives his life through you. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. I can lose my ear and still live. I can lose every limb and still live. I can lose my kidney and still live a while. But you cannot lose your heart and live. Did you hear that? If your heart is not pumping, you're dead. And so we must not have hardened hearts. And in fact, the Word of God says, because I want you to live, I'm going to take your hardened heart out and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Your heart is very important. It cannot afford frailty. It cannot afford to be weak. It cannot afford any kind of disease. Praise the Lord. I want you to apply that to the realm of the spirit, your heart. Is it sick? What causes it to be sick? Part of what causes the heart to be sick, the Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 13. It says, hope deferred makes your heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, that which you are hoping for, when it comes, it is a tree of life. It will continue to reproduce. It will cause you to live. We want that tree of life. We want our desires to come. And one of the things we've been talking about is this, because this is still related to what we've been talking about. We said everyone who asks does what? Receives. And then we said that receiving does not mean having. Mama read to us that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places. So there is provision already. Even before you ask, it's been provided. But that doesn't mean that you have. How are you going to have? The Bible tells us that we have what we what? Say. We have what we say. So if hope is deferred and it makes your heart sick, it must mean that there's something that I'm doing that is not proclaiming, I'm prophesying what I want so that I can download it from the heavenlies to a manifestation here in the earth. I have to keep on saying, as the Word of God says, if you have God's kind of faith or have faith in God, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you what? Say. So there's a time between when you started saying and the time that you finally receive or have what you say. And the Word of God says, keep on saying the same thing. Keep on saying, but I have not received it yet. Oh, you just canceled it. Thank you, Father. I have it. I have it. I thank you that you answered me. And whatever it is that is causing a delay between me receiving what that which you've dispatched, Father, eradicate it for me. I have it. I have it. I have it. I have it. So we know that to not defer, we've got to proclaim so that we have. But the Word of God also says that we've got to forgive. You know, people will do all kinds of crazy things that will hurt you, but you will be the foolish one if you embrace hurt and unforgiveness, because you are delaying something that God has for you. So even before people hurt you, forgive them already. Amen? Just be at peace. Pursue peace. Do the right thing. Just forgive. I forgive. It is well. Hallelujah. It is well. They may be struggling. Why is he so nice to me? Doesn't he know I did this? No, he knows. But he still loves. Why? Because God knows all my mess up, and he still loves me. In fact, the Word of God says that his blood cleanses us. It's a constant. The blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing, 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 cleansing. Every mistake, clean, 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 so that you are spotless and without blemish. You know when it stops cleaning? When you stop forgiving. As soon as you say, I'm not going to forgive her, blood, shh. It stops. Say, so, oh, we can deal with this. Huh? Oh, God, it's hard for me to forgive, but I choose to forgive. I forgive her. I forgive her. Shh. It kicks in again. Hello? Are we together? You got to protect your heart. You've heard me tell this story about how a dear sister that we had, Mama and I had given so much time to this sister. We'd given so much time. She had issues. 2 a.m. in the morning, our phone is ringing, and we're on the phone speaking life into her, speaking. This is not happened just for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months or 4 months or just a year. This is like almost every day for close to 2 years. And then one day, she's talking to somebody else, and the word came to me. Oh, I don't understand, Pastor Zeno and Pastor Maria, they have an accent. When I say, we have an accent, and you call us, we have an accent. And the person that she's telling that we have an accent has a very, very heavy accent. But we are the ones that have an accent. I said in my heart, okay, that's it. I've had it with all these Christians. I've had it. Anybody calls me, I'm not answering. They ask for prayer, I'm not praying for them. I will preach, but if I see the devil dragging you by the nose, I'm going to say, I hope you get out of that mess. Six months later, maybe 8 months later, I'm at the lawyer's house for a board meeting, and I said to them, I said, you guys pray for me. I can't feel anything. I was dead on the inside. Dead. I couldn't hear God. I couldn't feel God. I couldn't nothing God. Oh, I knew I was in trouble. And I knew when the trouble started, it was when I made that vow that I was not going to forgive. I didn't say it that way, but I just said, I'm not going to help nobody. I'm going to preach. And you know the amazing thing? I was preaching and everything seemed okay. It seemed like God was still there until zoom, the engine froze. Nothing was moving. They prayed for me, finished the meeting. I went home. Mama is lying down dead already, and I came and I said, pray for me. I'm dead inside. I can't hear God. She just does this. She touches me. She didn't even turn around. She just touched me. And boom, something broke. I knew something happened. We used to have a television program called Message of Deliverance at that time. And used to tape at Videon, a cable company at that time, before Shaw became Shaw. And I'm doing the program. This was the time, about the same time, generally within 2-3 months after the Jimmy Swaggart crying on television. And I'm on television speaking, I'm sitting there, and I'm talking about the people of God. And I'd feel it. And I was about to start bawling on television. And I said, Holy Spirit, don't do that to me today. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not going to cry like Jimmy Swaggart. Hug. I got out of that stage. I was so happy. I was a happy camper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will never again. So I made that commitment. I will never again hold a grudge in my heart for whatever reason. Never is it going to happen again. I don't care what the person did. I am not going to embrace bitterness ever again. I'm not going to be separated from God. Nothing is worth it. I don't care if they killed your cat. It's not worth it. Because eternity is too long a time to be without God. And eternity is not coming. Eternity is now. Do you understand? So you've got to protect your heart. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 3, there's a time to embrace and a time not to embrace. I found that very interesting. You mean there's a time that I should not embrace and have contact? Yeah, but don't do it out of bitterness. Do it because you're protecting your heart. There are some relationships you don't want in your life because they're going to poison your heart. Push it away. It doesn't matter what man says. Push it away until you can embrace. Amen? Paul says to the church, he says, see that guy that messed up with his mother-in-law, the father's wife, and is bragging and walking around, flaunting it in the face of everybody? Throw him out. Give him to the devil. Let the devil have a piece of him. And then he said, later on, you see that brother? Bring him back in. Bring him back in before the devil kills him. You know, so sometimes you got to cut it off, and sometimes you got to bring it back in. But everything done in the spirit of love, not out of anger, not out of bitterness, not out of self whatever, but do it right. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, God wants us to connect with that which he has for us. And then we said, receiving is one thing, having is one thing, but you got to keep it. Amen? You got to keep it. Don't fumble the ball. Yes, you're the receiver, and the ball is coming to you, the blessing is coming to you. You catch it, that means you have it, but you got to hold on to it, because if you fumble it, it is pointless. I said, Pastor, you're repeating yourself in all of this. Oh, I need to repeat myself a thousand times over until you and I get it. In Luke chapter 8, it said the seed that fell on the good and honest heart. The good and honest heart are those that bring forth fruit because they keep the word. They keep it. When you hear the word of God, keep it. When you have the promise of God, keep it. Don't just have it, keep it. Have your touchdown. Make a point. Hallelujah. Anything that will cause you to have a leaky heart is a thing that will cause you to die. You don't need a leaky heart. You want a heart that's able to keep what comes through it and release it because it has an assignment for it. Because remember what we said, the keeping of the word is you giving an assignment to that which God has given to you. If you receive something from God, give it an assignment. It's the spirit of the commander. When you command as God commanded his word and commanded the world and everything stayed, he spoke, he had it, but then he commanded and it was established. You keep it by speaking the word of command. How do you speak the word of command? You give an assignment to whatever it is that you have produced. Do you understand? So the word of God says in Luke 8 again, they keep it. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, which means faith came with it. For faith comes by what? Hearing. So they have faith. Keep it. So you're saying, wait a minute. So you can have faith and receive and not keep it? Absolutely. How do you have faith, have it, and not keep it? Because you have not given it an assignment. Let me use something that is very common to all of us. I'll use money as a reference point. You have the money. You have it. How do you keep it? By giving it an assignment. That's how you keep on receiving. The word of God says, there is that who have received, they have it, but they have not given it, and therefore become lacking. So you have it, you don't believe God that you will keep on having. So you eat it or you store it. And that which you are storing, the seed that you're storing that is not sown, is not going to continue to increase. If you want an orchard, it starts with one seed. But one seed will not give you an orchard if that one seed is not seeded again from the fruit. Oh, I don't know if it's going to grow. Oh, the weather is going to be bad. Oh, there's going to be a drought. Oh, there is this. He that observes that will never sow. A person who trusts in God will receive and invest it, and God will multiply his seed sown. Amen? Now, let's look at Jeremiah a little bit closer, and then I'm going to go at hyper speed. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. The word of God says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that what? Trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. You've made flesh your arm, and your heart has departed from the Lord. He says, that man is cursed. But there's more to it. He's saying, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. That second part, whose heart departed from the Lord, is connected to the first part. So it is not just me putting my faith no longer in God and departing from the Lord, but also me thinking I'm still with the Lord, placing my faith on somebody whose heart has departed from the Lord. Do you see that? You sure you saw it? So, God uses people. But God uses people whose trust is in him. So if you trust, God calls you and I to trust each other. I should be able to trust you. But my faith is not in you, but I trust you that you will do the right thing. If we don't live in that world where we are able to trust each other, we impoverish ourselves as a society. I've got to trust you. If you say to me, Pastor, I'm going to be at such and such a place at 9:30 a.m. and I'm going to do this, I should be able to trust you and relax, because I know that you're a keeper of your word. Yes? So that trust is not a problem. But it's a trust in believing that you are the only one. If you don't do it for me, I'm done. No, God says, I got a billion, trillion, zillion ways of solving that problem. Don't put your faith and trust in a man. Don't be praying and saying, oh God, I need $1,000. Thank you, Father. And I look at Brother Andre, he's going to give me $1,000. That's foolishness. That's absolute foolishness. God will make sure that prayer is not answered. In fact, you may put him in trouble because you're placing your trust in him, or you're placing your trust in her. That makes sense? Don't place your trust in anybody thinking that they are your source. God is your source. The government is not your source. People place their faith in all kinds of craziness, and they wonder, why is this happening? It says that person, that man who doesn't place his trust in God, but in man. He says he shall be like the heath in the desert. What does that word mean, the heath? The heath means a poor, naked person. If you're taking note, note that. You're a poor, naked person in the desert. A poor, naked person in the desert is affected by the climate of the desert. So it is hot, you are cooking, and there's no cooling down. At night, it is cold, and you're freezing, and there's no warming up. He says, that's your life. Everything that goes around affects you. You are poor. You are destitute. He says, and you will not see when good cometh. Why? You're so focused on, oh my God, oh, I'm dying here. And all that you're talking is bad. And good comes, and you don't even see it. You don't see it. Because your mind is screwed up. You don't know what's good. You're grabbing for foam, like a person grabbing for foam while they are drowning. Because you've not taken care of your heart. It says, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. The parched places in the wilderness. What? In essence, you're trusting in man and thinking that man is going to be your source, is going to take you to arid places. Not any place that you're going to get water. All you're going to see is all mirage, 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 mirage. You know what a mirage is, right? You're looking down this, down there, and it looks like there's water over there. And oh, if I can only get to it, and you keep on going and going, it's a mirage. It just keeps on going. It's just a reflection of the sky. Messed up. Why? Heart has not been protected. It says, in a salt land not inhabited. In a salt land not inhabited. Wait a minute. But shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. That means you're going to be alone. Did you get it? You're inhabiting a place where nobody is going to stay. It's a salt land. However, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope, that Hebrew word is a word for confidence. Whose confidence, whose security, whose refuge, those are all words that can be translated hope there. Your refuge is the Lord, because that's where you're abiding. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, and He is my what? Fortress, my security. My hope is in the Lord, because I am trusting in Him. For He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. You're not in the arid desert wilderness. You're going to be planted by the waters, and you're going to spread out your roots by the river. Praise the Lord. And shall not see when heat cometh. It will not see heat coming. Why? Her leaf shall be green, but her leaf shall be green, but her leaf shall be green. That's a remarkable word. That it doesn't even say, but her leaves shall be green. It just says, her leaf. How big is that leaf? This is God saying, just like He said, I know every hair on your head. This is God saying, I will take care of every single leaf. I don't know if you're getting this. I'm going to take off every single detail. You trust me, every single detail is going to be taken care of to make certain that every single leaf is green. Not sickly. No brown in it. All green. Hallelujah. 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 Say, Lord, green me up. Amen. Green me up. Praise the Lord. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. That word, careful, here is a word for anxiety or to be anxious. He says, you're not going to be anxious. In other words, you're not going to live a concerned life. You're not going to live afraid. Why? You put your trust in me. And when you put your trust in me, you don't have to be afraid. What is going to happen to me? I'm getting old. What's going to happen to me? No, no, no. The word of God says, don't think like that. He says, because neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You won't stop yielding fruit. You know, people ask me again and again, and they say, Pastor, when are you going to retire? I say, never. You're not going to retire? No. Why am I going to retire? Prophets don't retire. Till my last breath, if Jesus our Lord tarries, my mouth will still open and will speak of the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will always produce the fruit that God is granting me to produce. What about you? But if that is going to happen, you've got to make certain that you secure your heart. Because their heart is deceitful. It's fraudulent. So examine your heart and make certain, one, that you are not placing your trust in man and believing that man is your source, man is going to be the answer to this and that, and, oh God, these people are not doing whatever it is they are supposed to do. That is not your problem. I remember many years ago, the Lord said, don't make these people bread. I was preaching. I said, Lord, what do you mean? He says, don't turn these stones into bread. What are you saying? Don't ever make these people your source. Okay? And I made a commitment that day that I will never make people my source. I will thank God for people that God uses to bless me, but I'm not going to be looking at people and seeing dollar signs. And I believe I came to this house and I said to us, the day that I start looking at you as a dollar sign, that's the day I go sit down and let somebody else preach until I get my heart right. It's a commitment to God and also to His people. Praise the Lord. Because if you don't check your heart and make sure that you protect it, you will have a corrupted heart, a fraudulent heart. That means you try to milk people for whatever it is that you can get from them and tell them all kinds of funny stories, lies, that is not founded in anything that God said. And you're going to be saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord did not say any such thing. I'm not going to go to hell because of what people do or don't do. Especially because I'm not going to give an opportunity for that to happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're not anxious. You're not afraid. In the year that things slow down. So Paul says, I've learned something. I've learned contentment when I have lots and when I have little. In everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does God want from me? God wants me to do everything I do for His good pleasure. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Philippians 2:13, the Word of God says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God works in me to give me the grace to will, to do, and to do that which is going to be pleasurable to Him. In essence, that which is going to be of faith. Faith. Exercising faith. Doing what God wants you to do. How does He accomplish this? Matthew chapter 12. Actually, before I go down there, you know, verse 14 is so powerful. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Remember what we talked about the heart being deceitful, about crooked and perverse, perversity. He says, do everything that you do without murmuring and complaining about it, so that you become a people that shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What a powerful word. That is my prayer. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure you make it. That is a driving force, the driving reason why I take the time to break the Word of God down into biteable sizes so that you understand it, so you get it. If that's not my interest, I will speak all kinds of psychological babble and nonsense, make you feel good and empty. We have all kinds of amazing things here, but no word. And when trouble comes, you find yourself naked, impoverished and defeated, discouraged. But when you have the Word of God established inside of you, you've got the God fight inside of you. You say to the devil, buzz off. Go find another fool to mess with. I know God. I'm not a fool. And my trust is in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. In Matthew 12, verse 34, I'm just going to go real quickly here. Matthew 12, verse 34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart and mouth speak it. O generation of vipers. That's a snake. Snakes have double tongue, split tongue. Yeah? And that's how people who are double-minded are. And God is saying, don't be that generation. Split tongue. One time you're talking faith, and one other time you're talking unbelief. He says, a double-minded person should not expect to receive anything from me. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. What are you filling your heart with? A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. How? By speaking it into place. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Because out of the abundance of the heart, he's speaking, and you shall have what you what? Say. You cannot one moment be saying good things, great things are going to happen, all amazing, and then the next moment, oh, we are dying. Nothing good is going to happen. You are terrible. Which is it? Good or evil? How is it that you're able to speak good and speak evil at the same time? How is that? You got a split tongue. You have the spirit of a dragon. You're not the generation of God. He says, but I say unto you, this is the other aspect, that every what? Idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. I spent time breaking that statement down for you. Every idle word. And I shared with you about that word idle, that it means unemployed. Because God, when God breathed into you and I, He breathed the word of God inside of us. When God said, and man became a living soul, man became a living soul based on Psalm 33, based on word. He breathed the word of God inside of you. And the word, come. The word that you need, the word that you need, for every aspect of your life, you were born with it. Oh. You were born with it. God, when He breathed into you, breathed into you your future and your destiny. And what He wants is for you and I to connect with it, because we've protected our hearts to make sure that no junk comes in there. Yeah? How do junk get in there? By what you believe. What people say, and you believe and embrace it. I don't care if your life is such a messed up life this very moment. If you only believe that that evil word that is trying to confirm the bad that you are now is not the word for you, you will come out of it. I remember many years ago, I was ministering somewhere, and the Lord told me about the man who had the demons in the gathering, the man who said, "My name is Legion." And the Lord said something to me that I had not considered. He said, "Do you know why that man was busy cutting himself?" I said, "Because he was demonized." He said, "No, that's part of it, but that's not it." I said, "What was it?" He said, "Every time that man cut himself, he cut himself, saw the blood, and he was saying to himself, 'Dead men don't bleed.'" Mm-hmm. He said, "Every time they chained him and he broke it, it was not just because of the demonic activity. It was him on the inside of him that was saying, 'These chains are not for me,' and breaks it." He says, "As long as you fight back," because the reason he was in that state was because Jacob, blessing his children, said of God, "You shall be overcome by a troop." He said that man was living out the curse that had been pronounced over him as God. But the promise was also that the day is coming that you will overcome. He said, so every time he was fighting, he was declaring his freedom. And I say to you today, it doesn't matter what the enemy is doing in your life, keep fighting. Hallelujah. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. Never give up. Don't allow the enemy to possess your heart. Say of yourself, "I will make it. I will make it. The Lord God Almighty in me is mighty. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world." He says, "You may fall flat on your face. Keep on saying what I said about you." He says, "And one day you find yourself stepping out." I read this story many years ago about a farmer whose donkey fell into a well. And he thought, this animal, there's no way we can get it out. The hole is too tight. And they started dumping dirt in the well. And this donkey, when the dirt fell on it, would shake it off. Kept on doing that, shaking it off. But as it was shaking off the dirt, they saw something happening. It was stepping up in spite of the dirt. The dirt that was being hauled at it was now becoming stepping sand until it came up so high enough they were able to grab it and get it out. Dirt may have been hauled at you. Shake it off. Did you hear what I said? Shake it off. Don't stop complaining. They're trying to, "What are you guys trying to do? You're trying to kill me." Turn it around. Say, "This dirt, I'm going to use it to climb out." Hallelujah. Get ready to climb out. Amen. "You shall have what you say," Mark 11, 23 says. But Numbers 14 and verse 28, this is how, why we must protect our hearts. Numbers 14, 28. God says to Moses to tell the people, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you." I'm going to do to you what you say. Now, that's a very important thought. You know what that means? God doesn't want you to be a liar. Let me say that again. God doesn't want you to be what? A liar. So if you say that you're a failure and you're full and you're defeated, God will agree with you, because he doesn't want you to be a liar. But also, God will agree with you if you say, I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am coming out of this. I am a champion in Jesus' name. God will agree with you, because he doesn't want you to be a liar. So what are you going to say about yourself? You choose. The one thing God cannot do for you is bless you if you're double-minded. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. A double-minded person should not think that he's going to get anything from God. You must ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Notice it does not say N-O-T-I-N. That's what it should say. It says nothing. That means nothing inside of you is wavering. Take a hold of yourself. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable, shaky in all his ways. And finally, two verses. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. It says, for we walk how? By faith, not by sight. If you allow your sight, you'll be discouraged, you'll be overwhelmed, or you will go into pride. Together? Look at all these people, and you go in pride. Where did all the people go? You go in pride. You say, what do you mean you go in pride? Yeah, because you place your faith in people and what they can do, not in God. So don't let what you see in the natural determine how you believe. Just believe God, not what you see. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and thousands of people. And Jesus panicked, right? No. He gave thanks. He said, sit them down. Let them sit. We're not sending them anywhere. But we don't have enough food. What do we have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He grabs it, gives God thanks, breaks it, gives it to the disciples, and says, go. And they came back with 12 baskets full, more than they started with. He was not living by sight, but by what? Faith. And finally, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20, 24. Paul is surrounded by all kinds of issues, and he speaks out and says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of the circumstances surrounding me now move me. I am moved by my commitment and relationship with the Lord. That's it. Period. That's your life. That's my life. Let's leave it to the full. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Well, rise with me for a moment. Father, out of our hearts are the issues of life. Your word says that we can do nothing without you. So, Lord, oh God, we come before you and we ask for your help, for the protection of our hearts, that the decisions that we make on a daily basis and the motivation behind everything that we do and say, that it be orchestrated by the institution of your presence and the authority of your word. Lord, oh God, that the future that's ahead of us is not based on the mandates and the dictates of men, but rather a hearing of faith. And so, Lord, oh God, today we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that you're the God who opens the double-lift gate, the God who straightens the crooked parts, the God who heals wounded hearts, that you will be God in our lives, and the Lord, oh God, that we will boldly say, I am a child of the Most High. Thank you, Lord, for your peace which passes all understanding, and thank you, Lord, for your manifold provisions. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here present today, everyone, oh God, that has received your word and has been impacted by the fullness of your word. May your grace abound to every one of us and cause us, O God, to trouble that one who has always troubled us. Make us terrorize the powers of darkness because we boldly stand, men and women of God, with good and honest hearts. Thank you that we are fruitful, we are multiplying, we are subduing, and we are having dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed Father be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your manifold blessings. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. I encourage you to do as God has commanded us all to do. Honor God. Honor God with your first fruits. Praise the Lord. One of these days, I am going to address something that is plaguing the church about tithing and stuff like that to present the word of God, because the devil is trying to mess up and impoverish God's people. There are things that God has set in place in his word, and we must not move in the ignorance of men or because of the mistakes and abuse that men have brought into the whole area of giving and receiving. I'll present the word of God methodically so that you know that you know. Amen? What God's word has to say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And while you're honoring God, if you do not have the elements of communion, just raise your hand and the ushers will come to you and give you the elements of communion. Is there anybody that needs the elements of communion? Okay, that's good. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up. Jesus high, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men. Amen. Lord, you have been lifted up. Now draw all men unto yourself. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We take of your body and we eat. We do so in remembrance of you. And we say, perfect your will in our lives. Let a promise that you've made to